We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Hi there, and welcome to Conversations. I'm your host, Gregor. Thanks for spending some time with us here this weekend. Joining me this segment is Paula Littlewood, the CEO, interim CEO of Seattle Humane. Good morning.
How are you? Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us. Join us as we look at the issues that affect us here at home in our community and across the nation. We're months into a COVID world dominated by headlines and speculation full of uncertainty. Animals have no idea about any of that. They need laps and walks and food and pets, homes to snuggle up in. So how has the pandemic played out for one of our biggest pet-centric organizations in Western Washington? Well, today we'll find out how things are going at Seattle Humane. Paula, thanks for taking the time to join us. Let's just start with a little bit of background. Give us a little history into Seattle Humane and the long legacy that it has.
Well, Seattle Humane's been serving our region for over 100 years. So we're, as you mentioned, one of the larger shelters in the area, and we partner with lots of different folks throughout the region and throughout the United States. So it's an exciting place to be.
Now, the number one question must be, you're Seattle Humane, but you're in Bellevue off of East Gateway there. What's the story there?
That is so true. Actually, the organization was established as the Seattle King County Humane Society. So we serve all of King County.
Okay, great. That's a technicality.
It's a great question.
What a time to be at the helm of an organization, especially stepping in to be interim CEO. Give us an idea of how you got connected, how you linked up.
Well, a board member reached out to me last fall and asked if I'd be interested in coming to serve as the interim. And the more I learned about the organization, I said, absolutely. Sounds like a great place to be. Did not anticipate all of the things that we would be navigating, but it's all things being equal, it's been actually a pretty exciting time in terms of innovation and ingenuity. So I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit this morning.
Now, we're talking about a beautiful, huge facility full of animals and people helping animals. And like we said, they don't understand what a pandemic is. What were the feelings as you closed the doors to the public, other than, I think my stay just got extended?
Well, as you mentioned, just at the outset, people like to have a pet, someone in their lap, and you know, that's the same for pets. So the pets need that, but humans need that too. So our first priority when the pandemic really started to take hold was, of course, the safety of the animals and the safety of our vet, of our staff and volunteers. Mm-hmm. So we've moved to close the shelter to the public, but I want to be really clear, we're not closed. Closing to the public at that point meant that the public can't come on to the campus, but we are in full mode. We are still facilitating adoptions. You know, we have a very robust pet food bank. So our first priority when we shut was to move all the animals off campus. We knew that if we had a positive case on campus, that would mean we'd have to go to a total shutdown and have to disinfect the building from top to bottom. That still is true today. So right now we try and keep the animal population to about 5 to 8. And what we're doing is, as animals come in, we move them straight into foster. So we took all the animals that we already had, moved them into foster. We have an incredibly robust, committed foster population families. We had 900 foster families before the pandemic hit. We had 300 more sign up almost all in one weekend. Our systems have been really put to the test. So we have over 1,200 families right now that are willing to help foster animals. So we moved all the animals into foster. We obviously moved the majority of the staff to remote. So most of our staff is remote, and now they work in cohorts so that we can keep, you know, the staff separated, so to speak. So if we get a positive case in one cohort, that doesn't impact the other cohort. In other words, we can keep operations moving. And then we worked to figure out how do we start facilitating adoption straight from the foster families into forever homes, into adoptive families. And so that's what we've been doing. We've done 428 adoptions since April 1st. Back to the comment about innovation and ingenuity, the staff has just been amazing. I have to say my favorite thing as a CEO is to unbridle staff and let them run. And this staff is creative, committed. And so we do a lot of the adoptions are called curbside adoptions, which means they're obviously touchless, so to speak. And so people can basically pull in, the animal is ready, and they pick up the animal and they head off. And obviously if it doesn't work out, they can they can come back. But so that was our first priority, was to figure out how to facilitate those adoptions from foster families. Then we donated all of our PPE to human life-saving activities. We did suspend our surgeries and things for a while. We were only doing emergency surgeries. We have slowly reopened to doing some non-emergent, which would be like spay-neuter for our animals coming in. And then the third priority was understanding that as people started to hit economic difficulties, how do we help them keep their pets in their homes? So we have a pretty robust pet food bank that already serves over 2,500 pets a month. But working with other shelters in the area and an organization called Greater Good that had donated massive amounts of food, pet food, we've been holding mobile pet food banks. And through the mobile pet food banks, we've reached over 830 households, which translates to about 2,085 animals. So wow. That's been super exciting. And you know, we anticipate as the pandemic sort of wears on that a lot of our families are going to be hitting, you know, economic difficulties. So that's really our priority, is continuing to move animals into homes, but really supporting folks in keeping their animals so they can stay in their homes.
Now, we have a Seattle Humane kitty cat at our house, and when we've been there, you see the cat rooms where you can go in. You can really sit down and get to know a kitty cat. They need a comfy environment and a little time to get to know one another sometimes. How does that work to figure out if you're a good fit during a tough time like this?
Well, as I mentioned, we've created these curbside adoptions, so mm-hmm. folks can take the animal home, spend some time with them, and then if it doesn't work out, bring them back. There are a few adoptions that we're facilitating. That's mostly with dogs, where the prospective adoptive family can come in one of our play areas, which are large, so we can mm-hmm. do the social distancing. There's lots of fresh air, and spend a little time with the animal. But the other thing that's great about animals being in foster is that the foster families, right, are spending 24 hours a day with mm-hmm. these animals. So they get a really good sense. We get really good information about the animals. So that's really been a win-win as well. We've also put in place protocols, safety protocols, so that foster families and adoptive families can facilitate directly an adoption. You know, we're involved, you know, understanding, you know, what's going on and when they're going to meet. But we created COVID protocols so that can be done safely as well. So Making lemonade out of lemons.
We look forward every year to the great gathering for Tuxes and Tails, where you see people dressed up, looking sharp. You see animals walking the runway. All this opportunity to auction and bid on things and raise some money for a great cause. But obviously, 2020 is the year where that won't be the same. What are we doing to pivot this year to still be able to raise the money for you? How can we help you during this time?
Absolutely. Thanks. The gala is usually in May. So we worked with the Hyatt to move the date to September 26th. So September 26th. And in the beginning, we thought, you know, maybe it'll be in person. And then as things trudged on, we thought it would be maybe a hybrid. Some people in person, some online. And we made the decision just a couple weeks ago to make the September 26th event completely online. So we will still be doing it. We'll have, you know, fund a need. We'll have live items to auction. And we'll have the pet runway. It'll be virtual, I think. And then the other thing we did, again, to the creativity of our staff, our development and marketing folks, is we've been doing something called T-shirts and Tails through the summer. So we've had an event in June, an event in July, and then we just had one this Saturday in August. And each of those have had sort of a different focus. And they're only about 30 minutes to 45 minutes. And they're just great. We've had actually at the one in July, we had the auctioneers there and we actually auctioned off some stuff. And so we've been able to continue raising money through that venue, but we are looking forward to September 26th. It'd be great if folks can join us. And then we've also been still doing our normal fundraising and appeals, and so far we're exceeding our goals, and we're super thankful for that. Thankful to the community, thankful to all of you who continue to support us, and we're hoping that support will continue. So
great. When it comes to the mobile pet food bank, if I have an extra bag of kitty cat food or something, or I want to contribute somehow, how can I help out?
We've really been encouraging people, if they can, to donate funds for us to purchase the food and litter.
Sure.
Again, that's just in terms of trying to keep the traffic at our facility to a minimum. But if you want to help out, which we would be so thankful for, you can jump on our website or you can call us, and we will help you facilitate that. Yeah, I can't say enough about the support of the community. I can't say enough about the staff, the volunteers, the board, everybody just really heave-hoing and leaning in and keeping everything going.
Even at the best of times, Seattle Humane is a great organization. To sort of step it up even further during COVID times is remarkable. SeattleHumane.org. A lot of people throw society on the end of there. That'll get you a little bit down the rabbit hole, a different direction. SeattleHumane.org to help out today, to find out more or to make a contribution so other people can keep their pets fed. Paula, thank you so much for taking the time today. We appreciate you.
And thank you. Thanks for reaching out. We appreciate you.
Conversations is a public affairs program of this station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.